Well, we live in a crazy time, crazy day and age. And God has just really been talking to me about sharing with you, encouraging you, teaching you how to live during these times. These are not normal times. I was just reading this morning. You know, it was about, a week and a half ago or so when the state said everybody has to wear masks and Walmart and all the major retailers said you have to wear masks. And what was the outcome of that? I was just reading a Florida man threatened to kill a fellow shopper in Walmart. And he was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon just because he didn't want to wear a mask. And then there was somebody else who insisted that everybody wear a mask. So these two women confronted a man in the store because he wasn't wearing a face mask. And a woman trashed a Target store in Arizona because of the face mask mandate. Another woman in Texas was angry that a 7-Eleven convenience store required face coverings, so she spit all over the counter. Yeah. This is crazy stuff. And this is by no means all that's happening. And it doesn't matter which side of the equation you're on. It's still crazy, the way people are reacting and acting. And, you know, I hear this stuff, I read this stuff, I see this stuff, I have to encounter this stuff. And every day, I have to give myself a daily reminder. Chill. Think on the things above, not the things on the earth. And like I said earlier, you know, think ahead that Jesus is coming. He's coming. And when he gets here, you know, basically time's up for people. Their decisions for eternity are done. There's no more change in your mind. And, you know, I have to remind myself not to get caught up in all of this anger, this social anger. I have to consciously do that. And we can't avoid it. It's right in our face. Or maybe I should say on our face. It's a little joke there. You guys didn't get it. You're too serious. You didn't get it. I have to consciously remind myself to be gentle and kind, to love others, even those I disagree with, in situations I disagree with. There's a spiritual war going on. And who's winning this war?
God is.
Well, he's going to win it, but I mean, I think there's an argument to say it. He said that Satan has got, he's got a pretty good upper hand at this point. I mean, look how angry people are and hating each other and you know, sad and disrupted and all kinds of things.
Well, you know, in my job, it's a small world there because not very many people are angry at all. You know, amongst my fellow workers and all. Mm-hmm. And my job is really not a very hard job, but the hardest part of it is trying to work with that mask, breathing. I mean, there's times just I got to walk off the side and pull it down. And I got to be careful because if I get caught doing that, two times around, I'll get written up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just trying to breathe with it all the time.
Big brother is watching.
We live in a tough time. There's no doubt about it. And what I'm trying to bring to the conversation is that we as a people, as a church body, we need to stick together. We need to encourage one another. And we need to be witnesses. We need to be that light on the hill for others. This needs to be a sanctuary of peace. People need to feel drawn here because they perceive that there's peace to be found here. And when they come in, they need to feel that peace. And I can't tell you how many times over the last 9 years people have walked in here and the first thing they say, wow, I feel peace here. You know, when we leave, after church. We're leaving that peace here. It's still here. It's resonant.
Well, going back to the last point a little bit, just because evil is some of what you see does not mean that evil is all there is.
No, clearly not. And to support that point, what I'm saying is we need to be that goodness. Mm-hmm. And that's today's message.
I have a question. Is, you know, when we read our, is that during the time that we share our praises, is if we read a devotional or something? Can I read the devotional?
Let's catch it at prayer time, maybe.
Prayer time. So it's in the beginning, or are we doing that?
Well, I switch it around on.
Yeah, you do. You catch me off.
I don't want you falling asleep because it's routine. You know, we're having something different every week.
Is this a group? Are we reading this all?
No.
You're going to read this.
Yeah. You're going to read it with me.
Keep me on track.
You okay with change?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay, so at first it's the way to cure COVID is to turn off the TV.
There you go.
At any rate, we are to be gentle and kind, and I think we've forgotten that. At least we probably all have forgotten it, at least for a little bit of time. I know I forget it, and that's why I say that. Daily reminder in the morning, I have to remind myself. Gentle and kind, gentle and kind, gentle and kind. Turn with me to Matthew 5. We're going to kind of bounce across a handful of scriptures of what Jesus says about gentle and kind. Because there is a lot of teachings going around that are kind of one-sided, and it's against this gentle and kindness. It's, we need to be warriors. We need to be going out slashing and burning and beating and all of that. And that is not what Jesus came and taught us. Are you there, Matthew 5?
Uh-huh.
Yes. All right, so Matthew 5:5, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaking says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, isn't that totally opposite of what the world says? I mean, the world says the strong, the mighty, the warriors, those that are really good at fighting are going to inherit the earth. But Jesus, it's the gentle that will inherit the earth.
You know, I had a perspective on that a few years ago that I just don't share. It's so common sense. If the meek are going to inherit the earth, it's because the violent are going to all kill each other.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's so, once the Holy Spirit cleanses you out and you can think clearly, you go, wait, that just makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
You know, that doesn't take a leap of faith to believe that. It's
simple and profound. Let's move along to another time. Jesus in Matthew 9:13. Matthew 9:13, and Jesus is answering the disciples or the Pharisees' questions and their challenges of him and about them putting down his disciples. And Jesus said in verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And these are opposites. The Pharisees who know the law, think they follow the law perfectly, and try to oppress the people with the law. And then we have the sinners, those who know they're sinners. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have compassion. I want you to go out and show that's more important to me than any sacrifice you can make, any amount of money you can donate, any amount of labor you can do, any amount of ritual liturgy that you do. What's more important to me is compassion. And I think maybe as we grow in our faith and understanding of Scripture, we're at more risk to lose our compassion because we have too much knowledge. And we use that knowledge as a weapon on people. We forget that we were once sinners. So Jesus desires compassion, not sacrifice. Continue on to Matthew 11, verse 29. People say Jesus never told us, doesn't want us to be meek and kind and gentle and humble. He wants us to be strong and warriors and soldiers. But Jesus describes himself. And he gives us each an invitation. And he says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's describing his character, his attributes. He is gentle and humble. And he's inviting us in to experience that. He's not saying, come, join my camp. Join my commune. We're going to learn how to fight. And when you go out, you will know how to kill. He's not asking that. He's, come, experience gentleness, humility, kindness, love. And then go out with those weapons. Turn with me to Matthew 12, verse 7. And this is a kind of a repeat of an earlier one that we read. And he's basically having a discussion with the Pharisees who were accusing him of violating the Sabbath. Imagine that. The Pharisees accusing God in Jesus of violating the day to worship him. Boggles the mind. But anyway, Jesus responds again to the Pharisees, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. You would have not condemned the innocent. We do that as knowledgeable Christians with not yet Christians or with new Christians who are, you know, they're only partially walking in the walk. I mean, they haven't learned it yet. And yet we want to beat them up with Scripture and all the you got to do this's and not do that's. I think we were singing the song, you know, we're waving our signs. And we're tripping them up on their way to Jesus. Jesus desires compassion. If we will show them compassion and love, we will be demonstrating to them the character of God, our Father in heaven, the character of Jesus. Don't let Satan tell you, ah, you are letting them off the hook. You are not, you know, showing them the right way. You know, we need to lead them to Jesus, not put up this big wall that they've got to be able to climb over. And I'm aware that many people think, when I preach this, that I'm a false teacher. But I would rather be standing in front of Jesus, and I just don't see him saying, you know, Mark, you were just a little too easy on people. You were too kind. I didn't see that happening. I'll take my chances.
Jesus led everybody off the hook when he died on the cross.
Amen. Amen. You know, grace and peace is what it's about. Turn with me to Matthew 21:5. You know, in all of these scriptures that I've been reading to you, that Jesus is speaking, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Old Testament prophets, Hosea and Jeremiah. And in some of our Bible studies, I've explained to the students that the Bible is put together with certain rules, what's going to be in there. and it has to be inspired. And if Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, then that was included in the New Testament. So we've seen that in these scriptures. And once again, here we come. Matthew 21:5 or 21:5. I'm not sure that's the one I wanted. Yeah, it is. Okay. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king, and that's uppercase king, that's a pronoun, that's a proper noun, your king is coming to you, gentle, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. This was the most humble animal that Jesus the King could ride into Jerusalem on. It says, it describes him as gentle. This is a scripture also from Zechariah, I believe it is. You know, 500-600 years before he arrived. This is how you're going to know when the Messiah is coming in. The King is coming into Jerusalem. He's going to be on the foal of a donkey. He's not going to be on a stallion with a whole entourage. He's going to be riding on this little animal. And that is your king. Because he is gentle. A king is gentle. And this is what I'm saying to you today. These scriptures describing Jesus and him describing to us what should be our character. Nothing has changed. This is what Jesus wants us to do. And yet, I see the opposite of this in social media. People are not being gentle and kind. Not everybody. There are people like Andrew Lee, who's just great at giving a gentle answer. You know, it says in Proverbs, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And if you can't give a gentle answer, shut up. You know?
Thank you. It's very aggravating because 10 years ago, if you asked any one of my friends, I'd say, is Greg kind and a nice person and humble? And would he ever say something derogatory? I mean, maybe. But generally, I think they'd say, oh, salt of the earth, nice guy, always looking out for other people doing what's right.
That's the truth there.
And yet, I'm driven to be the opposite by what's going on. And I pray for it, and that's where I came to my conclusion this morning, which is so amazing, it fits so good with your sermon, is just that there's some, well, the devil, I guess, is out there pushing for you to be the opposite of that. I mean, it really is a concerted effort you have to make, as you're saying yourself, in the morning you get up and say, what am I doing? This is crazy. This is not who I am, where I want to be, or how I want to be. Lord, help me.
Amen. Amen.
Full effects. That devil, that enemy right now.
So Danny has a poster on his icebox, his refrigerator, that totally explains what you were just talking about. You know how Satan wants to push us in another direction or is always attacking us, you know. I should say, I'm going to take a picture of that before I leave you.
Yeah.
Good luck. On my job, I have a hard time. My tongue is very sore from having to bite it.
No,
yeah, but we need to change that carnal, natural response to that Jesus response somehow.
That's why my tongue is sore.
Yeah, because as we look through Scripture, we see that Jesus was kind and gentle. He was kind and gentle with the children, the crippled, the blind, the poor, and the needy. Who wasn't he gentle with? The Pharisees, who thought they were better than him, who were telling him, you can't have church on this day. Think that's happening? You are violating the government rules, the religious rules of the Sabbath by healing people and helping them and praying for them. Bad Jesus. Jesus wants us to be gentle and kind. You know, just to remind you of some of the scriptures. In Mark 1, he touched a leper and healed him. A leper. If you touch a leper, you're at risk, great risk of getting leprosy, whether you're wearing a mask or not.
It didn't even matter if they found out you touched one, you were kicked out of the city, right?
Yeah. Jesus, in Mark 5, he raised a little girl from the dead. There is nothing more heartbreaking to a parent than to have their child die. And Jesus had compassion on those parents and that girl, and he raised her from the dead. In John 11, it says that Jesus wept with Mary and Martha, who were weeping over the loss of their brother, Lazarus. Jesus has compassion. In Luke 23, he's hanging on the cross. And he's got a criminal on the right and a criminal on the left. And one criminal is making fun of him and putting him down and challenging him. And the other criminal is finally coming to his senses and he's saying, Jesus, take me with you to paradise. I want to be with you. And did Jesus read him the riot act? Did he say, you know, brother, you've had all of this time to get it right, and here you are hanging on a cross, and of course you're going to ask for salvation. Did he do that? No. Because the person was calling out to Jesus, I want to go to heaven, I want to be saved. Jesus didn't say, you know, well, you got to get down from the cross and you got to do a few things first. He didn't say, you know, brother, you should have thought about this a little earlier. You know, maybe back there when you were being dragged out and nailed to the cross, or, you know, even before that. No, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say to him, dude, haven't you heard there's no room in heaven for thieves? And that's what you are. No. Because of his confession, you will be with me in paradise today. Amen. If we're going to have the heart of Jesus, we need to be willing and able to think like that and respond like that.
So, it seems to me like you're kind of getting at more of a biblical definition of what it means to be strong versus society's definition of what it means to be strong.
Amen. Strong in faith. Only strength we have comes from God. We want His strength,
amen.
His wisdom, and it comes through the Holy Spirit within us. Look at a couple other times how gentle and kind Jesus was. In John 4, remember he was at the well and the woman comes up? And look at how gentle he was with her. And even to the point when she was challenging him, you know, you people worship this way and we worship this way. And Jesus says, you know, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you go get your husband and let's talk? And she says, I don't have a husband. And she said, I know. You've had four of them. And you're living with a fifth. And did he go on to say, you're a fornicator? There's no room in heaven for you? No. He drew her in. He said, I've got living water for you. And she was so excited. She went in and brought the whole town out to hear him. We judge sinners and the capability of how God can use them. And that is not what we should be doing. What about the time where the Pharisee invited Jesus for lunch? And he's in his house. And this lady, who was known to be a prostitute, comes to the house and is weeping and comes over to Jesus and anoints his feet right in front of that Pharisee. who has probably condemned her in the past, who may possibly have even used some of her services. And Jesus is gently dealing with this woman as she confesses her sin. You know, we are so far off base at times with our attitudes and our thoughts. See if you can remember this statement. Gentleness is the Christ-likeness that God is trying to produce in us. Okay. Well, let's get our lips moving. Let's all say it together. Gentleness is the Christ-likeness God is trying to produce in me. Let's make it personal. If you are of the persuasion that, no, we need to be strong and warriors and going out and whipping up the sinners, whipping up the religious, let's look at some of the teachings in the Bible that we are supposed to be following. Turn with me to Galatians. So if you've been following me, you're in Matthew, turn to the right, four or five books, to Galatians. Galatians 5.
Amen.
Chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Are you there?
Yes.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You see that? Kindness and gentleness. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot, in good stead, say that we are a Christ follower if we're not exhibiting some fruit of the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit comes from trials and tribulations. If you are going to have the fruit of the Spirit living in and within you, you are going to have some scars. You are going to have been tested and tried. And you've come to the point realizing, I can't do this on my own. Turn to the right, a couple more books, to Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 5. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians 4, verse 5. Are you there?
Yeah.
Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Let your gentle spirit. Do you have a gentle spirit? Do you have a gentle spirit? You know, this is what God is trying to produce in us.
My translation says, let your moderation be known unto all men, which kind of ties into having a gentle spirit. Hard having moderation in anything these days.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Turn with me to the right again, four or five books to Titus. Titus is only a couple pages long, so don't zoom past it. Titus 3, verse 2. Titus 3, verse 2. This is where Paul is speaking to Titus, admonishing him how to lead the church, to shepherd the church, and what to tell the church members to do and be. Are you there? Verse 2, chapter 3. Malign no one. What does malign mean? It means don't put down, don't slander, don't gossip, don't put someone down. Malign no one. Be peaceable. Be peaceable. You know, we can disagree peaceably. We can speak the truth in love, even though that truth might be opposite of what the person you're talking to believes. We can speak the truth in love. Malign no one. Be peaceable. Gentle. Again, gentle. We don't need to come up with these great one-liners and the zingers and have an angry spirit with people that we disagree with. We could be gentle. Showing every consideration for all men. Showing consideration. Being considerate towards all men. So these are the characteristics that God is trying to instill in us. And then finally, James. Turn to another three or four books and get to James. Right after Hebrews, before 1 and 2 Peter, James 3, verse 17. James 3, verse 17. The wisdom from above. What kind of wisdom is James speaking of? Where is it coming from?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's from God, coming down in the Holy Spirit. That wisdom from above is what?
Pure.
It is first. Pure.
Pure.
What else? Come on.
Peaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Willing to yield full mercy.
Yeah. And good fruits. Unwavering. It's without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we say one thing and do another. So if we're out there hateful and angry, cussing at people, that's hypocrisy if we're supposed to be a Christ follower.
Without partiality.
Without partiality, yeah. In other words, we should treat and love everyone the same, not just those who think like us, those who are in the same political party as us. No, we need to do it without partiality, without hypocrisy. Maybe they're not in the same economic class we are. We need to treat people without partiality. No, you can't, sorry.
In 18 it says, when peacemakers plant seeds of peace, they will harvest justice.
Amen. Alright, well let's kind of finish up. If you want to turn to your left again to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And while you're getting there, I want to remind us of a couple of Proverbs. One's in 14:21. He who despises his neighbor sins. But happy is he who is gracious to the poor. We put down the poor, don't we? We like to think and say the poor deserve it. They made their own bed. They have reasons. But God says, be gracious to the poor. It's interesting how he's not telling us be gracious to the rich. God's heart is towards the poor, the sinners. Proverbs 19:22. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. It doesn't say what is desirable in a man is his extreme knowledge of every scripture in the Bible. It says kindness. Mm-hmm. So, first, we need to be demonstrating the things of the Spirit, the things of God. That's more important. That's that compassion that God desires, not the sacrifice. So there, Colossians 3, we're going to read 12 through 17 to kind of finish this up. And as we read this, I want to ask you the question is, do you want to be gentle and kind? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to start with the want to first. Do you want to be gentle and kind? So, as those who have been chosen of God, everyone that's come to Jesus has been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Here's that word again. And kindness and humility. Not arrogance, not bragging, not, you know, drawing attention to yourself, not commending yourself. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience, patience, patience. One of the things that I think this church body excels in, and it's a difficult thing, is being patient with people as they are coming to faith or as they're working out their new faith and leaving the old things behind and learning and doing new things. We have to be patient. Mm-hmm. This doesn't necessarily happen overnight. 13. Bear with one another. Bear with one another. That means be long-suffering. Hang in there with one another as we go through these trials and tribulations and as we go through life's issues. Bear with one another. You don't have to solve that problem right exactly then. You don't have to insist on the person making that change right then. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should also. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Giving thanks to through him to God the Father. So if you are doing all things, and if you can remember this, I'm doing all things to him, you're going to, when you start to do something mean or angry or bad, you're going to, I don't want to do that to God. And maybe that'll prompt you to change your behavior, close your mouth, bite your tongue, whatever it takes.
I think of this gentleness and kindness, I think it goes doubly for children. We have to use good manners and say please and thank you to children, I think even more than to each other, because they learn from us and it makes them grow stronger.
Yeah, we can't tell them use your manners if we don't use our manners.
Right.
So, reflection and takeaway. What have you heard from God today that you can take away today? You know, if you put yourself in these situations where you're confronted with an angry person because you're too close to them or you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, you know, how can you find ways to be kind and gentle? What, this is your time. What did we pick up today? What can we do?
I really liked this Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And that physically happened to me, and when I tell people about my testimony, like, they're like, wow, that's incredible. And it was like, I mean, I've taken hallucinogenics, and this is like the craziest trip I've ever had, is being touched by the Holy Spirit, and I was like, whoa, blew my mind. And after that, after I was touched by the Holy Spirit, and I felt that love, I couldn't be mad anymore. Like, it sucked it out of me. I was reacting differently than I had ever reacted in my life to people. And that was about 2 years ago. I mean, I literally would be attacked, and instead of attacking back, I would either start to cry because I didn't know what to do at the time, you know, or I'd run away. And usually I, before, would fight back, and, like, it just wasn't in me anymore, that fight. And so, like, that probably saved my life recently with my roommate, was just not having that fight in me, because I did have compassion, and I did see, like, I looked at him as a person that was hurting and that must have been hurt and didn't have God, you know. And, like, it wasn't until that encounter, how this describes the Holy Spirit entering you. But sometimes you don't know what to say, and that's the thing, is you just pray to the Holy, you just pray to God that the Holy Spirit will take over. And it does every time. And that's the thing, is we react, but if we allow the Holy Spirit in within us, it ends up.
How can I be compassionate in this moment to this person?
Exactly. So I think that.
What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm. Back to the old adage, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all.
There you go.
Yeah. Because most of what happens isn't important. It doesn't matter. It's the way we treat each other that is the important thing.
Danny, you were saying something?
Oh, I was going to say, and bring back the WWJD bracelets.
What would Jesus do? Yeah, I have one.
All righty, well, let's gather around and pray for one another before we go.